Hello and welcome to the Born Too Late program, coming at you from Sheena's Jungle Room on listener-supported WFMU Radio. This is a show where I, Jay Castro, and my esteemed co-hosts, Mr. Josh Rutledge and Mr. Alex Kish, we like to talk to musicians, label owners, DJs, bloggers, or anyone else that's making a fuss in the music that we love. If you're a returning listener or this is your first time tuning into our humble program, we ask that you please go and give us a like, give us an ad, make us your best friend, whatever, on social media. We're on Born Too Late WFMU. Not only does this help us, of course, but it also helps spread the word on all the projects that our fantastic guests are involved with. Josh, what do we have coming up on our show today?
So tonight is our 1990s punk rock show. Or more properly, our first 1990s punk rock show. There will certainly be more. And tonight we've got our friend Ed on with us. All of us being of a certain age came up on 90s punk rock. And perhaps I'm biased, but to me the 90s was the second greatest era ever for punk rock.
Good years.
Really, during those last years before everyone was on the internet, when almost everything you learned about punk records came from reading Maximum Rock and Roll or other zines or ordering from the Underground Medicine catalog.
Exactly. Digging through liner notes.
Yeah, visiting cool record stores, actually seeing bands on tour. It was a time when a whole new generation of bands were bringing back the original punk sound. And then you had this really cool explosion of different subgenres, pop punk and garage punk and street punk, etc. So back then you might discover a somewhat, big band like Screeching Weasel or Rancid. But then that would set you off on this mission to dig deeper into the true underground stuff. We could do hundreds of episodes celebrating our favorite punk bands of the 90s. But we'll start with this episode and take it from there. We were all tasked with, picking a few of our favorite 90s punk bands to feature on this episode. So we're going to talk about our selections and play them for you. I'm sure for a lot of you, this episode will bring back some tremendous memories. For others, maybe you'll discover some new bands you've never heard before. So break out those rollerblades and your Nintendo Game Boy, your CD carrying case. Crack open a Crystal Pepsi. We're setting our time machine for the 1990s. What do you guys remember about the 90s and punk rock?
Record stores. And it's funny, like comic book stores, old school comic book stores actually sell like comic books, not like gaming stuff and other stuff, garbage, but like comic book stores and like old school record stores have a very distinct smell. Like, I don't know what it is. It's a combination of like musty paper or like old clove cigarettes. I don't know what it is, but you walk into like an old school record store or an old school comic book store and it just hits you. Like you can feel like just being transported back to having rode the bus there or something.
That's funny. The one thing I remember is actually physical flyers, because everything is just like on a JPEG or whatever social media platform you're using. But going to the record store and actually having to pick up the physical flyer to find out the show, or that the majority of the magazines you probably read were the newsprint. So by the time you were finished, like the tips of your fingers were like black. I remember like Maximum Rock and Roll, like you knew you were, once you started going through it or whatever the local weekly was in your city to find the shows, actually like holding the records and like pulling them out and like following with the lyrics and, oh yeah, who's this, like Josh was alluding to earlier, like who's this cool band, and like digging through all their friends' bands to see. And then every purchase, you're pretty much just like rolling the dice on, because you didn't get a YouTube to preview a track. So,
oh yeah, yeah.
It's like a lottery every time you went and bought a record.
Sometimes the MRR reviewer was spot on. Sometimes way off.
Yep. Yeah. You were really dependent on the descriptions and the bands they referenced.
Yeah, I feel guilty for anyone who ever bought a bad record based on one of my reviews back in the day. Because back then you had to wait. You'd send the money in, and it would take, you know, 3 or 4 days to get there, and then they would have to process the order and send it. So you could be waiting like a week or two before you got your record. And then what if you bought the record and it sucked?
Oh, yeah. Well,
remember, if you wrote a check, I think it took the label like 2-3 weeks just to clear your check.
Then they would send it
to you. So sometimes you're up to a month.
Yeah, I remember ordering stuff from Incognito in Germany. I remember ordering like Spin Idol stuff and like PVC CD.